Okay, hey folks, thanks for tuning in to the Banff podcast with your host, Mike Lafferty. We're doing part two of our Extreme Earth Mutants and Masterminds actual play, and I'll let everyone introduce themselves, starting with GM Aidan Smith.
Hello, I'm Adrian Smith. I'm the GM and the writer of this adventure.
Awesome, and Mr. John Gibbons?
Hi guys, I'm John Gibbons, artist behind Extreme Earth, and I'm playing a character called Mojo in this adventure.
Tell us a little bit about Mojo, in case they didn't catch us last time.
Okay, Mojo is a street punk who basically was always into technology. He ended up turning to a life of crime due to his environment, etc. And ended up being recruited by the terrorist organization Mantis, who basically used various techniques on him, as well as the stuff that he was naturally born with, to kind of turn him into kind of like a computer genius who's able to control electronics and computers at range. He's now working for Fist, although he doesn't really want to be here, but he's got no choice, because if he doesn't work for Fist, that means he's back in prison.
Okay. And Walt, what Billiard is the next?
Yes, part-time hooligan, full-time, I got nothing to finish that with. So we got, I'm playing Gunner, and Gunner is normally the leader of this ragtag bunch of mercenaries working for the federal government, and is a battle-scarred, PTSD-laden machine of destruction, all pent up in a cyborg chassis. Good times.
You've got a gun for a hand, right?
Yes, but I'm fully capable, you know, handy capable, it's fine.
So many jokes, not going to make any of
them. Too early.
And I'm Mike Lafferty, and I'm playing a guy named Hammer, who's a kind of a crazy criminal with a heart of gold, extra strong, kind of brute guy, carries a hammer, hears voices in his head like an angel and devil on his shoulder, Mr. White and Mr. Red, and he has a control collar that Gunner holds to keep him from, I guess, to help Gunner minimize the civilian casualties that happen when...
Batshit crazy.
Say what?
Batshit crazy. That's what
it's called. Batshit crazy. Exactly.
That's the medical term.
And, hey, why don't you give us a quick recap of what happened last time?
Okay, so you were sent to infiltrate this island to retain some records from Carlos D'Souza, who apparently had sold a submarine to Mantis, had nuclear capabilities, and you basically washed yourself upon the southern shore, snuck around for a while, deactivated the comms systems so they could no longer contact the mainland, and disabled the CCTV, and you've basically made your way up the central spine of the island, took out a guard patrol that unfortunately spotted you, and at this current point in time, a small, dilapidated Humvee is slowly edging its way towards you.
This is not good. Oh, hey, Mike, have you been eating something?
I think he might have gotten tangled in his microphone.
He's trying to kill him. I think his mic's trying to kill him.
Sorry, it was a small small radiation leak. We have it locked down now. Sorry about that.
Okay, now, Aid,
yes.
For some reason, my view of the map on the screen, I can't see much more north of where we are. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, fine. Okay.
I had to split into two because it was so damn big.
And we are using Roll 20 for anyone who didn't pick up on that earlier.
Good point. Yes, I forgot to mention that.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So,
how far away is this Humvee?
Currently where you are, it is about 30, 40 feet away. You can just see its headlights kind of pointing down towards you. The rain and the storms are still carrying on. You can just make out kind of the shadowy shape against the kind of some of the lights from the actual mansion you're aiming for. And it's slowly edging its way. It kind of splutters and stops and starts every so often. This doesn't seem to be left into much kind of repair, and it's definitely seen better days. So at the moment, you've kind of got the opportunity to make your way off of the main road and see what it does, or you can attack it, your choice. Currently, the guys on the south end are still investigating the disturbance you caused upon the yacht on the jetty, but some of them now have started losing interest. and resume their normal patrols. Luckily, at the moment, the one that's the group that's lost their interest has continued their patrol to the west rather than the direction you are currently at. So, at this point in time, they're actually going away from you rather than towards you.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
All right. So, what have we got? About 40 feet.
You've got about 40 feet at the moment. Yeah. You've also got. You can also see there's another two pylons with the searchlights either side of the kind of this spine of the island, and the each of the searchlights kind of overlaps every so often. Like I say, it takes a full minute or so to revolve around the actual rail they've got around there as well. So they kind of cross you regularly. Every so often they cross over. So.
So we don't. Do we think that this Humvee's actually seen us, or do we think it's just on its patrol?
You think it's just. It's either heard something, or it's basically decided to do upstart for whatever reason. But it doesn't seem to be doing anything at speed, so you would assume it's doing it more out of curiosity than any kind of sense of urgency. You've still got the three guys laying on the road at the moment. The fourth one, obviously, is the one that Ham smashed into the water, and that's kind of so he's still bobbing on kind of on the side of the road at the moment. But if you were to leave now and the Humvee was to head south, it would definitely encounter those guys and probably notice something's wrong, yeah.
We need to get the bodies off the road and into the water or in the undergrowth, don't we, then, really? Okay, well, I'll grab the nearest guy who's lying on the floor, and I will drag him down, you know, to the shore, basically. You know, down so the Humvee couldn't see where the body is, and just try and move it.
So yeah, there's a little ridge on that South Island part. So it drops about two or three feet or so. So you can kind of smush him in there into the kind of the muddy area, so he doesn't kind of drift away or anything like that, and he just basically kind of lays there.
Let's do the same with me and Gunner.
Okay.
I will help dispose the dead bodies. Because I'm a team player.
Exactly, yes. Always need to be a team player. Okay, so this Humvee then is now stopped. Let's have a look. From where you currently are, you can see there's a there's like trees and the like. It's kind of stopped between this part set of trees at the moment, and it's just basically idling there at the minute between these two searchlights.
Do we want to make our way around, or do we want to wait till he progresses further and then try and either duck him or take it?
Well, what I was thinking was, why don't we see if we can get him to drive past us, and then when he's maybe about 100 foot down south, I could then maybe reach out and just disable the engine, and then we just keep on walking north. So they drive past us, then as far as they're concerned, his back home has finally reached its end of his days, packs up on them. They're not going to be suspicious about that, because they expect it to be breaking down. And the Humvee is away from us, and there's no reason why they would think it was us, and we can carry on walking north out of sight.
Sounds like a good plan. What do you think, Mike?
I take out some brochures I have from the Jehovah's Witnesses, in case they do catch us. Say, let's go, boss.
just hide down there, Aid, and just see if the Humvee eventually does sort of drive down the path. Well, how far behind us do we think the second group of patrols are?
Because we've the patrol which going up the spine is now been taken out. The one that you originally encountered was the one that went up to up and around the island. The second one was the one that went to the jetty. So the original one now has left the jetty and is heading back around. And it takes on average about five or six minutes or so, possibly a bit longer, depending on how quick and many times they stop and start, but to actually do that little cycle of the island. So you've probably got anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes before they would even come near you, and you're still 15, 20 feet away from their kind of general way they move anyway. So you're still out of the way. They're not going to immediately kind of trip over you if they even complete their cycle.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, let's kick off that path. Let's see what the vehicle does for the next view.
Okay. Right. So you wait a few more minutes or so, and it basically just above you there is another one of these pylons. So you're looking 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 feet away from you at the moment. It stops under left one of these pylons, pointing south down towards you, and basically sits there idling at the moment, just ticking away. The guy on the gun, you can still make him out, because obviously every so often as these searchlights pass over the top of his head, you kind of definitely see him, and you can see him against some of the other lights as well. He seems to be kind of casual. He's got his arm resting on the gun itself rather than kind of anything behind the back of it, as if he's waiting for any trouble and things like that. So he seems fairly unaware that anything is going on at the moment. They're just waiting. As you're doing that as well, you wait those minutes. The guys from that first patrol are probably just on the south edge of the island now, where you originally kind of washed up on the shore.
You see, the issue is, guys, that eventually we are, we're going to get discovered. Now, that's either going to be when we get to the mansion and start taking out, this guy we want to try to question, or if we're discovered and we're leaving bodies, we've got patrols coming our way. I reckon we've only probably got about 10 minutes before the entire island knows that something's going on. So, why don't we just hustle and just go for it?
All right, let's move it.
Aye. Right. Let me just grab you guys. We'll copy and paste you into the next map. La 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 la. Okay,
I like so this. See, it's nice.
It's very good. Yeah. Right, so I will put you on the edge of this next map, and I'll move you guys there using the player doodad. Okay, so now, you hustle a few more extra feet up, and you are currently now in the undergrowth, just up from the on the kind of the northern edge of this large map. So as you can see, the Humvee's parked just kind of where the road crosses into the main areas. There's a searchlight immediately to your north, about 20, 30 feet away, and the entire area is yellow because it's been swept by this the searchlight pattern. There's a second searchlight to the west, which is, like I said, it crosses over the first. There's a large building also to the west. And then, as you can see, to the northwest is where the actual mansion you were aiming for is currently situated, next to a lovely set of tennis courts.
Nice. Hey, Walt, have you seen that picture top right?
Yeah, are you talking about the what do you call it, the Sentry Tower?
No,
or the one of the...
Yes.
The nice one with the crow system on it?
Yeah, nice.
Did you get to use one of those?
No.
Yeah, it's like playing a video game.
Okay, this Humvee could be a problem, couldn't it?
It's just sitting there idle in that path. Like I say, it's about 15, 20 feet away from that tower. It's idling there, and it's just basically sitting there. The guy seems completely oblivious to anything's going on. He's happy enough to just sit there at the moment. Let's say the rain is still hammering down, so he's got his wet weather gear pulled over his head, and he just seems to be dealing with it effectively. Just getting fed up.
Hey, do you know the sentry towers? The spotlights in those sentry towers. How are they powered? What are they like? You know what I mean? What's the components of them?
You would assume there's some kind of generator system inside each sentry tower. Probably in each either. Actually, in the main building, or kind of concealed in like the roof area of the actual thing itself. There doesn't appear to be any kind of power lines leading down the actual legs or anything as well. So you're judging by that, you would say each one's kind of got its own little mini generator or something chugging away.
So I mean, I could always maybe try and affect the power, turn off the spotlights, even if it's just literally for a short 30 seconds, to give us a chance of maybe running up the right hand edge of the island.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, let's do it.
So what's the distance then, Abe, between where we're standing now and maybe the edge of that forest land to the north, if you know what I mean?
The forest to the north, you are looking at 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30 40, 40, 50, 60, 70, about 80 feet.
And how fast can we move as characters in Mutants and Masterminds? What's the...
Generally speaking, it's 30 feet is walking speed, and then you can obviously increase that by kind of almost like effectively double moving or any other kind of land movement power as well.
Okay, but obviously we won't want to go up. So
really, Gunner can move slightly faster because he's got his bionic legs, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, you know, some of us are sexy like that.
Can
you take out that light?
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Are they within 50 foot of me? I think they are, aren't they?
Yes, they're just within 50 feet of you, including obviously the height distance, but yeah, they are.
So I think the plan is I'll reach out again with my power control and attempt to just temporarily just turn off the generator in the tower. So maybe only for 30 seconds, just a little blip, enough for us to run up north.
Okay, that's fine. So if you want to make a roll again, plus your... Is it five you've got, electric control?
I have, yes, five.
Yeah, so D20 plus five, and you need over 15 or better.
Okay, D20 plus five. Oh, I roll a one.
It's a staggeringly good one. Okay, so... you reach out with your electric manipulation powers, and you've obviously kind of sense out, and you can feel this the generator pulsing in your kind of feel energy field of vision, as it was, and you attempt to kind of just shut it down for a few seconds, but unfortunately your powers kind of don't quite do what you expect them to do, and rather than shut the thing down, you actually overcharge the entire thing. So there's a kind of a few seconds you can you just kind of see the actual spotlight flare up about four or five times brighter than it was originally. Eventually, the bulb when it kind of cracks and explodes, and the generator actually inside the building kind of pops and sends like showers of metal all the way kind of over a certain distance away from the thing. But unfortunately, that also kind of alerts the guard on the Humvee that something is wrong with the actual tower itself. So he now grabs his gun, mans his gun, and kind of tries to angle it towards his tower to see if anything has dropped onto the actual roof of the tower. And the two guys inside the tower are kind of slightly stunned, and obviously from this kind of shower of metal being kind of thrust at them from this generator. But other than that, they are unharmed.
They probably think a concussion grenade's gone off or something.
So yeah, they're now looking actively. You can see the guy who's kind of the shooter position is now actively looking around to see if something has kind of been shot at this tower.
I turn the lights off at least. Come on, give me some credit. Okay, well, over to Gunner, Mr. Military Man.
All right, so
I'm just going to stay in these trees and just stay out of sight.
All right, so we're going to need a distraction in order to get through these guys. Unless, on the ridge, like near the beaches and stuff like that. So,
yep.
Pretty much like right here, you get that ridge line that goes all the way across. How much of a drop is that?
You're looking at about 5 feet or so.
So enough to where we could kind of high crawl through if we needed to.
Yeah, you could easily do that. Yeah, the water is probably about, by the time you got down, it'd be about waist deep or so, and you'd have like 2 or 3 feet above your head before you'd actually hit the land. So you could actually slow move through it if you needed to.
Yeah, let's. I think that's probably going to be the best idea, is to get to the edge of the beach and get to that drop off to where we have some cover from the tower now that they're not going to be able to see through all of the rain and everything that's going on. And then we should skirt this beach line until we reach an area to where we're pretty much out of sight from the tower, and then get into the trees so we can start making our way to the mansion. Now, what's this other building that's right over here on the west side of the island?
According to the surveillance and the kind of dossier you've been given in the past, that is a barracks. Ooh. And attached to a kennels where the dog patrols kind of keep their spare dogs.
Yeah, I think I'm probably good with going there. You should probably just head over to the mansion.
Let's leave that alone.
Yeah, I mean, if we had more time, we could booby trap the crap out of it so that if an alarm went off, the guys coming out would get absolutely decimated. But
not the dogs, right?
We could probably hang some stakes on the other side of the building.
Okay, all right.
Well, like, if we manage to get out of here alive, Hammer, I promise to buy you a puppy.
All right, so we're creeping up the coastline.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah. Hey, just one quick question as we're moving up. We have seen these guards now close up. They didn't have any kind of, like, night scopes or, like, anything on the rifles or anything like that, did they?
They've got They've got, like, the torches they've got are kind of attached to each of the rifles, but they've got nothing actually allows them to see in the dark, per se. Okay. They will actually need to see you with a torch to actually see you, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Just check. Okay, you've got eight. Right, so as you're making your way up through the water, you can see that these two guards are still kind of glancing around to see what's what. The guard who was in the original shooting position seems to be using his radio and seems to have put a call out. Obviously, you can't hear what he's saying at the moment, but he seems to be kind of pointing in the direction to the east, where you so kind of almost over the top of your heads. As if to kind of say that something may have, that the kind of projectile that took this thing out may have originated from that area. The second guy is still kind of looking at the actual generator, see if he can get anything to go with it at the moment, but at this current point in time, you can't actually get anything working. So, after a round, you can move 60 feet if you double move. Obviously, the water slows you down slightly, so if you're going to go through that water, you're probably about to get to where Hammer is in a round or so.
Okay, that's what I intend to do then. I want to get. Okay. Can I get to there?
That'll be fine. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay. So, as you are making your way through the water, you can also see that one of these dog patrols has made its way to the Humvee on the west hand side and is kind of discussing with the guy in the Humvee on the gun. You know, what's going on, and it points up to the tower again, and they start to look around us, but they've still got no idea you're there.
Hopefully the water will disguise any scent or anything that we have. Let's keep moving toward the tree line. That way, we can get out of this open area and get away from these guards. And then start making our way over.
Hammer's breath stinks, that's the only problem.
You know, if your diet was completely comprised of beef jerky, you're in it too. Are we hugging the coastline or making a dash across the
crest? Oh no. Well, I'm not too confident about making a dash.
Okay, so we're hugging the coastline, gotcha. Okay.
So effectively, yeah, you can move 30 feet in a round normally. You move 60 feet in a round if you double move. If you make a successful athletics check, you can increase your movement speed by one rank, which effectively doubles your movement for one round.
Oh, I think we just take it nice and easy, just our normal movement rate and go slow.
Okay.
And no judging because the water's cold.
Huh? That's okay. Okay, so we're moving.
You know, I've just realised that this map that I did, I think I used a fingerprint brush for the trees.
That's pretty cool. This map is gorgeous. All the artwork for this is gorgeous.
Okay, so second round. The dog patrol now moves up to the base of the tower and is heading in your general direction. It seems to be that the actual route that this thing takes pretty much goes down the parallel line you are going down the coastline.
No. Well, look, if this thing is going to spot us and we have to fight it, I'd rather be further away from the tower and the Humvee, so maybe we should just try and make a bit more of a hustle to get into the woodlands.
Okay, sounds good.
Move it.
Hustling. Every day I'm shuffling.
Right, let me just check a roll. Thank you. Right, so it is within your kind of your starting position then is within about 30 feet or so of the actual thing itself, so I will get a chance to make a sense check to see if this doggy can sniff you out.
Something tells me it's going to sniff us out.
So let me just check.
These are not normal dogs, are they? We've been told that these are mutant sort of.
These are, yeah, highly genetically engineered. They're kind of slightly more savage, slightly more kind of scent based as well. So they get, yeah, the actual sense of smell is greater than it would be. There's, you get a sense that they've mixed some kind of weird, kind of, you know, Wolverine genes or something dodgy in there that's kind of made them more aggressive than they ever were before as well. So they're not something you really want to be messing with if you get the chance to get out away with it.
Half dog, half honey badger.
Yeah, they're badgers. Oh, there was a YouTube clip going doing the rounds a couple of weeks ago of a honey badger. Oh, vicious.
Yeah, they are nasty, nasty customers. All right, so does the dog smell us out?
Right, on a... Okay, right. One D20 plus 6 on its roll. It rolls a 1. Oh. You are incredibly lucky. So at this current point in time, it seems to be that your concealment of in the being in the water and obviously the probably some of the rain weather as well is kind of deadened some of the scent as well. You are currently okay at the moment. But if it continues on this route and it keeps getting within 30 feet of you, every time it does so, it's probably going to get another attempt to have a sniff and see if it detects you.
And do we know if the... I mean, I don't know how much information we got about the dog patrols. Do we know if the dog patrols go for the woods or do they go around the edge of the coastline?
From what you've been told, they go around the edge of the coastline, right. Pretty much parallel with the actual coast itself, all the way around the northern end, all the way down the western end, past on the outside of the actual mansion itself, outside of the barracks and back around to this kind of where it is now.
Well, I say let's head for the trees. Let's go into the woods. Let's go for the woods.
That sounds like a plan. And also, I'm going to turn on my night vision from my bionic eye as we're traveling. So if we see any like infrared tripwires, anything like that, we'll be able to see them. And then on top of that, I'm going to take. Do I have a string or any like 550 cord or anything like that?
You could probably have something similar. Yeah, I can't see why you wouldn't have anything.
All right, I'm going to take a stick, just you know, regular old stick, about the length of a fishing pole. Tie some cord to it, and then put a rock at the end of it, and then hold it out in front of me as we move. That way, if there are any real tripwires that you can't see on infrared, the stone will move, and I'll see the cord move before we hit it. That way, we don't trip.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, so as you make your way through the woods, you basically just reach out and grab the nearest branch, snap it off, and, give Tidus thing back to it. And
well, I mean, as soon as I see Gunner getting all Ray Mears survival on us and all this stuff... I'm going to suddenly realise that I'm actually in the front of the party here.
You are currently in the lead.
And I'm going to walk past me with his trusty stick because that the mention of things like tripwires, again, I'm totally out of my element. Totally.
All right, so let's go forward.
Okay. So you make your way further into the forest. As you do so, the dog patrol makes its way around the edge to exactly where you were. Now, this time, it definitely detects something. You can hear its kind of thing shuffling around. It's put its nose to the ground where you've kind of hit the land again, coming out of the water. And it's now kind of sniffing around to see if it can actually see which kind of route you've taken. Currently, at the moment, it's not barking or any, or kind of, but you can see it's. You can kind of hear it pulling at the guy's the actual collar of the thing, and you can hear kind of him saying to it in language, kind of, you know, what have you spotted, what have you seen, that kind of thing. So it's at the moment, it's definitely detected something, but it doesn't exactly know where you are at this exact point in time.
Hey, good. I don't suppose you got any poison stakes hidden in that cybernetic gear, have you?
I don't think I have any poison, but I believe I have something that he might be allergic to. Bullets and knives.
We're not going to hurt the dog, are we?
Well, only if it hurts us first, Hammer.
I remember you said that.
Well, if the dog gets close, we'll let Hammer handle it, and he can go all George on it. He can love it and squeeze it, and you know, until something pops.
I would not pop the dog. You didn't have that control collar, Gunner. We'd have a serious conversation right now. All right, so we're attacking the dog and the guy.
So you can either backtrack, or you can lay in hope that it doesn't follow you into the woods. Your choice.
I'm going to move a little bit. I'm going to move deep into the woods, up to there.
What are they doing? Are they coming into the wood line, or are they just looking around?
At the moment, they're kind of sniffing up kind of the route you came, and they're kind of sniffing on the edge of the wood line at the moment. He's kind of deciding if you broke into there or not, and it's basically just sniffing around at the minute.
Hey, I saw this thing in a movie one time. I pick up a rock and I throw it at a tree on the other side where the guy and the dog are.
Sounds okay. Like a plan.
Right, so if you want to make a standard hit roll with your D20 plus your kind of standard attack bonus.
Okay.
I believe would be, he says, looking up. Let's say it would be a plus 6.
Okay, how do I do the roll of the D20 here in the
left-hand side, the little icon with a D20 on it. Press that, and that gives you your normal dice roller, and then you can modify that on the actual thing. So you should say 1D20 plus, and then you can modify that, and then roll.
How much did you say I should add?
6.
6, okay.
It's a 21. Perfect. Okay, so you pick up a stone, arc it over the top, and basically it kind of plumps into the water behind this dog. The guard immediately swings his rifle around with his little torch on it and kind of starts swinging it around to see if he can see anyone concealed in the actual low level of the water. But the dog pays no attention to that and decides to kind of half pull him, and he starts kind of now sniffing definitely in your direction. He moves about 5 foot towards you, kind of crossing the guy's arms over the top of himself and almost spinning around in the spot like a little pirouette as it kind of now pulls in your direction.
So the dog handler is off balance?
The dog's handler at the moment is kind of completely disorientated at this 1 second, yes. If you can beat him on initiative next round, then he will have a disadvantage.
All right, I just took an action, so I can't shoot him, but maybe Gunner can.
Yeah, I can do that. I thought you were going to get all creative and throw mojo at him, but okay.
That's the reason why I'm nowhere near him.
Yeah, I'll take a shot at him. So.
Okay, so your standard difficulty is you've got plus 4 to difficulty as well because of the amount of trees and stuff between you and him. But he is kind of disorientated as well, so he, technically speaking, he's not actually trying to dodge you. So if you want to make a standard attack,
going for it now.
It's a 27. Okay, nice. That's incredibly high roll. So he's fine for 5 damage. Okay, so that would be a DC 20 on his fortitude saving throw. Oh, sorry, toughness saving throw. He rolls an 18. He's under by 2, so he is slightly wounded. So your bullet kind of passes through his shoulder. Completes the kind of pirouette he does, spins him completely round on the ground. He kind of flumps on his ass and lets go of the lead of the actual dog, and the dog now starts legging it towards you guys into the forest. Okay, so next round, if you want to roll initiative for this round, as we've actually now got an active pursuer.
Oh, alright. So it'll be roll d20. And
so at the bottom, Mike, in your
it should be a macro on.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then a separate scroll bar for the macro bar. Yeah, there we go. 23.
Ooh. Fantastic. Okay, so you are first then. So the actual genetically engineered dog is the slowest at the moment, so it kind of starts, you can definitely see it barking, and now it's kind of charging pace towards you. You are actually the nearest, so it is actually heading towards you at the moment as well. So you go first.
Okay.
So you can either hold your action and wait till it comes to you, or you can kind of actively run at it and take an attack. It's your choice.
I'm going to actively run at it and try to grapple it and choke it out.
I thought you liked dogs.
I do. That's why I'm not hitting with the hammer. So, unarmed attack roll.
Is a 25. Okay.
Is that what you do for grappling, though?
I believe. Let's have a look. Have you actually got you got grapple plus 8? So, yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, all right.
Yep, that's fine. It's actually, you got that does a plus 10 to your macro, so I can just take 2 off that. Still 23. 23 is still high enough. So, okay, so you run towards it. You kind of just almost like leap on it, almost knock the kind of wind out of it for a few seconds or so. You put your arms around its neck and kind of just squeeze as hard as you possibly can. Your damage is 8, which means it's got a toughness saving throw of 23 to see if it can actually beat that or not. Okay, its toughness modifier is plus 5, so that is d20 plus 5. It's going to definitely suffer some damage. It rolls a 15, so that would be 13 under. It's injured but not completely incapacitated. So kind of, it's still rolling around. Now it's kind of snapping at your face, sending kind of globules of spit all over you, whatever your face is doing so, and it's now making a hell of a racket.
See, what you're meant to do in this scenario is jump on its back, then you hook your arms between its legs and pull up. That's how you take the dog out.
Really?
Yeah, that's how you might take a dog out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I actually would, though.
I'm trying to make friends with the dog as he's trying to.
Exactly, yeah. You're just playing roll around on it. That's fine. Okay, Gunner, 19. You are next.
Do I see the guy moving around at all?
The guy is now. He's pulling himself up, but he won't act this round. So he's kind of. He's definitely obviously now. He's kind of scrabbling on the ground to see if he can retrieve his rifle that he dropped when he got hit. But he's not actually going to have an attack this round.
All right, another shot on him then.
Okay. 27 to hit for another 5 damage. A toughness save, incredibly bad one of 10. So that is another 5 under. So he takes another level of damage. So he's now 3 levels in damage. 2 levels in damage. So he's not minus 2 to everything at the moment. So yeah, again, he kind of takes the bullet on into his flat chest again, kind of enough to give him another severe bruising. But he will act next round at minus 2. So, Mojo, on 12.
Okay, well, I will get out that trusty light pistol of mine, which did absolutely nothing last time. But I will take careful aim and try and shoot the guard.
Okay, so you are still going to suffer the minuses through shooting through the actual tree line as well. But obviously, again, he's incapacitated, so it almost bounces out. So, okay. Just take the roll and we'll work it out. 19 and 3 damage. Okay, 19 is good enough to hit, and 3 damage is a save of 18. He gets 21. Oh. So that one he takes completely in the chest, and the actual bulletproof vest he's got takes the full impact.
Useless pistol.
You love the pistol. The pistol's great. It's your friend.
I want an SMG. I'm going to buy an SMG.
Okay, so the dog is basically going to try and it kind of wriggles around in an attempt to get free of Hammer, but it will basically just try to take a snap in with its jaws. A 16 to hit for 5 damage. So your dodge is 8, so that would be 18 or more. It's a miss. So it just basically completely snaps at you, almost kind of takes the edge of your nose off, but doesn't actually do any damage. Okay, so
doesn't get a bonus because we're grappled?
It's technically speaking, actually, it gets a minus because you're grappled, because you're grappling it, and a bonus for the proximity, so it kind of evens out.
All right.
Okay, so the actual guard now picks himself up off the ground. He rolls an 8 for initiative, so he will act last again this round, and we're back around to Hammer on 23. So you can reapply your pressure of this thing and do another grapple attack, or you can do something else.
I look deeply in the dog's eyes and try to form a kinship with him.
Oh, it's going to be one of those days, huh?
I don't think it's having anything of it. It's kind of this green kind of saliva still dripping from its face, and ready to try and tear your head off.
Do I get a roll?
Do you get a roll?
Yeah.
You're going to empathic link to it.
Look, he fancies the dog.
I just watched a lot of Beastmaster when I was in the asylum.
Oh boy.
That was the only thing playing on TBS, like, for a month.
That's the weasel. He had a weasel, didn't he?
I was going to say, were they weasels or were they chipmunks? I can never damn remember what they were.
They were ferrets.
Ferrets. There you go. They even more, ferrets. Yeah.
So no rule. It's not that kind of game. Extreme Earth is a utopian green world.
I was going to say, if you had animal hands in, I would have let you have some attempts, but unfortunately, genetically engineered doggies, they don't tend to worry too much.
All right, alas. Okay, so who's next?
Are you still going to attack?
No, it's not. That's what he's doing. He's just staring.
You're actively going to do it. Okay, that's fine.
Well, if you're not going to give me a roll, then I'll go ahead and just try to put the dog to sleep.
Okay.
Not to sleep, just sleepy time.
Yes, that would be probably the best way, I'd say.
All right, so you want me to roll?
If you can.
Unarmed attack?
That would be fine.
All right. 16 to hit for 8 damage.
Okay, that's another good hit again. So 8 damage, it's toughest same throw. It rolls a 16, and a 23, takes another wound damage. So it's now 3, it is now staggered, so it will not act this round. Okay, so Gunnar, you are next.
Let's see. All right, I'm sent. Can I do a half move and then fire again so I can try and get closer to this guard?
Yeah. If you got moved by action at all.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Move by action or move by attack? I think it is.
I'm not sure. I'm going to check the magical character sheet that you uploaded in this very useful interface. The advantages, right?
Yep, and I cannot see it listed.
Yep. Alright, so I'm just going to take another shot then. Let's see, 24 to hit.
Okay, and you're shooting at the guard again, yeah?
That is correct.
Okay, right, that is another hit for him. He takes a toughness save of 15. With his reductions down, that brings it down to 11, which is 9 more, so that's another one. He is now staggered again as well, so he will not be acting this round. Okay, so Mojo, you're next.
Okay, right. Try again, right? Point this bloody thing at him and shoot him.
So you aim again, you kind of line him up this time, he's kind of almost...
This time, here we go.
Holding on his heels. It's a 14. Okay, that's a hit.
Hey!
3 damage. Makes the same throw of 18, which is enough to put him down, and he takes 1 more wound damage. He drops to the ground incapacitated.
Hey!
Okay, so just nice. Around. He's not necessarily dying, but the amount of kind of bruising and stuff from the actual bullets and that is enough to basically just drop him. So he just kind of flumps down onto his ass and then onto his back and just lays there, arms spread out beside him.
That's a bad case of lead poisoning.
And that is why they call him Mojo.
Did Mojo do something right?
Yes, I did.
Hey, shot him.
Hey, without me, big guy, we won't be this far.
That might be true. All right, so who goes next?
You're next, back around to the 423 on the next round. So you can have another grapple attack.
Damn it, dog. We were going to be friends. We were going to be best friends.
Okay, an another 16 and another 8 damage, so okay. 19 for his save, which he, again is not enough to save him from a one level of damage. He goes into 4 levels and he is incapacitated as well. So you kind of give an extra squeeze, his eyes kind of bulge for a few seconds, and he just kind of thumps against your chest with his tongue hanging out of it, kind of laying there slobbering over you.
Oh, what have you done?
Breathing kind of shallowly, but not moving anymore.
If I was really going to be in character, I would argue with you guys for 5 minutes to let me take the dog with. I'm doing a short demo session, so I won't.
Okay, right, so apparently the only bullets that have gone off are the light pistol and the rifle you're using, so there's nothing, the guy didn't get a chance to actually shoot any machine gun shots off, so that hasn't alerted anybody in the current vicinity.
Let's kick the dog and kick the guy into the ocean.
I gently place the dog on the beach.
Okay, so you drop him down the little embankment onto the kind of where the water laps up against the side of it, and it just kind of lays there, kind of slowly puffing away as the water kind of laps over its body every so often.
They drown.
Before we get rid of the guard, I'm going to search him, try and get his radio.
Okay, no problem. He's got it set on his chest as well, ready to activate it as well. So,
hey, Gunner,
you can hear the communications from the guys on the tower, basically kind of shouting out to see if anyone's seen anything. But that's pretty much the only signal coming from him at the moment.
Does he have any Funyuns?
I will search his pockets for snacks.
Okay, thanks.
So what were they, Mike?
I've never heard those in my life.
it's packaged like, I guess you guys call them crisps, like potato chips, but it's made from onions.
But they're onions.
Sort of like onion rings, but dried and sold as snack food at convenience shops.
Yeah.
They're terrible. They're terrible.
That's really annoying.
So, hey, we can now attack their communication.
Yes.
Yeah, but let's not talk to them, Hammer. Let's just use it to listen to what they've got to say.
What do they have to say?
Well, Gunner's got control of the walkie-talkie. Leave it. Let's just keep going.
All right.
I'll keep an eye out. If I get myself another radio, we can give you one, too.
Are they aware we're here? Are they looking for us?
At the moment, no. It doesn't seem to be. They're just basically shouting out that they're looking for something, if anyone's seen anything, because at the moment they still don't know what caused the problem. It could have just been a generator failure as far as they're concerned. Right. So they basically just seem to be just shouting out if anyone's spotted anything.
So no one's discovered the dead guy back at the...
Nobody's discovered the dead guy at the comms tower, because you hastily pushed him into that locker, and no one else has discovered anything else, no.
Alright.
Let's follow Gunner and his stick.
Yep, that's right, yeah. Gunner and his stick go first, and you can make your way northeast or so. After about 2 or 3 minutes or so, you make your way to the edge of the forest. You don't encounter any sign of any laser tripwires or anything like that. So as you get to the edge of that tree line, you can see just to your north there is a lovely paired tennis court that has seems to be largely unused, but now kind of is pretty much a water hole that the water's kind of sitting on the surface. There is one guard standing outside the actual mansion himself that seems to be patrolling up kind of just in front of the main building itself, up, down. The main door to the place is in the seems to be like a gate that leads into the center, and that's pretty much what you can see at the moment.
We should probably skirt around the tree line behind the tennis court and go into the building through the side, like enter through a window or something like that, because I'm sure the courtyard is covered in tons of floodlights and stuff like that, and then we got that vehicle that's over in between.
Yeah, there's a guard tower that's just on the west hand side of the actual mansion itself, on the north southwest, and that obviously again passes every so often, sporadically passes over every minute or so, it kind of passes over the top of where you are.
I suppose the problem is, though, is the more time that we spend in the forest, we've got more chance of bumping into other dog patrols.
Yeah, there's definitely more than one. There could be anything up to five or six dog patrols that go around the edge, and there is a possibility that one or two may actually make their way through the forested area as well.
Is there any way for Mojo to turn off all the lights?
Yeah, I could, but that's, you know, that's definitely going to get the alarm bells ringing, isn't it?
You could, from where you can see at the moment, obviously you can see the lights inside the mansion, obviously through the windows. You would assume that there is a separate generator for that. You could overload that generator if you wanted to knock the actual mansion out completely. Or, yeah, again, if you wanted to knock the generator out on the tower, you could do that as well. But you are one, two, three... You're about 100 feet or so easily now away from it, so you'd have to get much closer before you could do that.
You see, I suppose the question is now is what stage do we go into kind of like assault mode, don't we? Because, you know, there's going to come a time where we're going to want to just break into this house, and I think once we get in the house, it's all hell's going to break loose. So I think we cut the power at the time that we're planning on storming the house. It's at what time we do that, if you know what I mean.
Why isn't that time now?
How do you guys want to enter the house?
Well, I'll take your lead, Gunnar.
Violently.
Violently. I would really love if we could somehow take over that Humvee that's out there and then use that as an assault platform for getting inside.
Is that Humvee there, Aid?
That Humvee is no longer there. That is the original location of the Humvee.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So all we got to
do is... Yeah, that's his starting position, yeah.
Just got that one guy.
So we've got the one guy, and we've got the guys in the towers.
The only guy you can see at the moment, yeah, is the two guys in the towers that is obviously the searchlight, and the one guy that's moving up and down at the front. There is no sign of anybody actually in your immediate viewpoint, no.
Okay, so, you know, imagine if we were to walk north to the edge of the southern edge of the tennis court.
Yep.
Yeah? Now, you've got the height of the corner of the mansion house. How tall is the tower? As in, what's their field of view? There must be an area within that courtyard somewhere that's obscured by the height of the building, unless the tower's like 100 foot tall or something.
No, the tower is barely over the top of the actual courtyard, so by the time you get to kind of where you see the guy is, they are pretty much out of viewpoint, even though kind of the light every so often will kind of pass over the top of the rooftops, and you may catch your glimpse of light, but it'd be very, very difficult for anyone to actually see you the nearer you actually got to that edge of the mansion.
Right, okay. So maybe if we wait then until the searchlight goes the other way, and then we make a run for the southern edge of the tennis court, where from that moment we should be invisible to the tower anyway, everybody's got to quickly deal with that guard before he raises the alarm.
I so want to see Hammer throw a worldwide wrestling clothesline to this guy.
Okay, sounds good. I charge.
Let's get to the tennis court first, Hammer.
You're currently 55 feet away at the moment, so you could do it in a double move, but then you'd have to wait to the next round before you got a chance, or you can make the athletics check, and that would allow you to do it in one move, and then you can have an attack at the end of it. If you want
How long does the light, if you know the lights that's rotating around the tower that they're obviously, you know, so how long do we think we've got once the searchlight moves away from the area before it comes back again in rounds?
So you've got, it takes around a minute or so. So you've got, unless I'm mistaken, you've got 10 rounds.
Oh, right. So we've got plenty.
We've found again, yeah.
So we don't need to panic and rush over there. So, yeah, I mean, I'll just head straight across. I'll wait till the guard, the light turns round, and I'm just going to make
a
look.
On that edge of the tennis court, there is like one of those kind of steel meshy fences as well around the outside of it. And obviously, there's a few bushes as well. So you could actually make your way to there first before you decided to. Or, like I say, you can double move, or you can do an athletics check, which allows you to effectively double move in one move, and then you can have an attack at the end of it as well.
Just hustle over there, to the edge of the courtyard where the bushes are.
That's fine. So you keep your head down. The guy doesn't pay any attention to you whatsoever and just seems to be oblivious. Yeah, again, smoking kind of a large cigar, and basically just seems to be more annoyed that it's raining on him every second of the day rather than anything else.
All right, so now that we get up there.
So you're now 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 feet away from him. So you could do it in one move around.
Hammer, you want to make things interesting?
Arr.
Turned into a pirate.
Okay, so off you trot. You've basically just put your head down and run as the fast as possible across this courtyard. Oh, if you want to make a standard attack, you can do so.
That'd wake him up.
Okay, 23 to hit for 10 damage. Okay, so he will get a chance to dodge this time. Let me just check, see what his dodge score is. God, I think it's a yes, 5, I thought so. Right, so he's in trouble. So he's going to take the hit, but he will get a toughness saving throw. So toughness saving throw is 25, which is a fantastic saving throw, which actually is exactly equal to the amount of damage you do. Uh-huh. So effectively, you take 0 damage. So what was it you were going to do? Were you going to try and wrestle him, or were you just going to slug him with a hammer?
I'm slugging with the hammer.
You're going to slug him with the hammer. Okay, so you take a run at him. You kind of swing the hammer back as you do so. He turns just in time as he sees you approaching. The hammer hits him square in the chest, and the kind of ballistics material actually in the actual bulletproof vest absorbs in the majority impact. And he kind of knocked backwards a few feet or so, kind of against the wall, but he doesn't actually take any damage. So right. Next okay. round, if you want to roll initiative for next round,
right.
Now everyone, now he's aware, then we will do that.
Oh,
I have a 4.
Oh, 7.
4. Gunner?
It is 15.
Okay, so you are first on 15.
All right, I'm going to go rush in and help my good buddy Hammer.
Okay, so you're within well within movement rate and attack, so you can do so.
Okay, I'm going to rush him and try and see if I can have any luck with my rifle mounted knife again.
Okay.
17 to hit, 8 damage.
Hit. That is a hit and 8 damage. He gets a standard toughness. He gets 18 on his toughest zone throw, so that would be 5. He takes one level of damage this time. So your kind of knife just basically slides in, kind of slides between the some of the plates in the actual armor and just kind of nicks him slightly before he manages to kind of struggle free. Right, so he is on 10.
We're really bad commandos.
We are.
Yeah.
It's from living the soft life in the spotlight.
I guess so.
We're going rusty, that's why. Yeah.
I want the soft life. What am I doing here? I keep asking myself, why am
okay,
I here?
So
if you could shoot this guard from where you are, that'd be great, Mojo.
He's going to attack Hammer first with the assault rifle he has currently slung at his side. For a 9 to hit and 5 damage. Okay, so Hammer, your dodge is 8. He misses you.
Ooh, nice dodge.
At point blank range with a rifle? Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. He hits you by 1. My mistake.
Oh, you see, you shouldn't have said anything.
No, wait a minute. No. Oh. He does miss you. He misses you. So you basically kind of grapple the gun underneath your arm, and it kind of goes off and kind of takes ricochets against the fence next to him, next to Mojo, kind of spark him up immediately so that his bullets kind of cause this kind of rattling noise against the fence. So now you've currently got this assault rifle under your right arm. And Mojo, you are next.
Oh, right, okay. So you guys are asking me to take a shot from that distance. Both of you clinging on to someone, and you want me to hit him with my pistol shooting skills.
He's effectively got cover from Hammer at the moment because he's virtually.
I mean, if you want me to take a shot, boys, I will do. But don't blame me. Don't blame me.
I don't think Hammer's capable of not blaming you if you shoot him.
Okay,
he's not a very sophisticated fellow.
Well,
other than that, you can use your power to turn out the lights in the mansion so that once this guy's done, you can go straight in. Because that'll obviously save you a round for doing that.
Yeah, but I'm more concerned about the guy who can be shooting bullets now. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll move to the edge of the tennis court there, and I will take a shot from whatever it is.
That's 5, 10, 15, about 20 feet or so, yeah.
I will try to aim it sort of on the left-hand side of the guy. So if I do miss, I'll hit gunner rather than hammer.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be that kind of day.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys, I'm stepping away for 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay, so take the shot. Okay, it's a 9, so it is a miss. Okay.
Does that mean I get a different style haircut?
So, yeah, it basically just kind of misses completely and thumps into the stone of the actual gate beside the actual guy himself. Okay, so. Funnily enough, it would be Hammer's turn now, typically enough, on 4.
Okay. Can we assume what he would do at this point?
I assume I can macro away with his hammer strike. So a hammer strike from Hammer does a 8 to hit and a 10 damage.
So you can see all of our characters on your side of the screen, if you know what I mean, Aid. Can you see all our macros and things? Yeah.
Yes.
Because I put
them all in. All the macros are viewable by me, and I could even add them to the list on my bottom of my screen if I needed to. If we were to play this and you created your own macros, then they would be unique to yourself and I wouldn't be able to actually see those.
Right. Cool.
Okay, so 8 to hit is a miss. Oh, no. Yes, a miss. So, yet again, so he has a problem. So, he basically struggles with this guy. He won't let go of the rifle. He kind of pulls his arm back, ready to swing, and just basically takes a chunk out of the side of the fence behind the guy instead. So 15, you are next, Gunner.
I love being next. All right, let's let's try and Ginsu this guy again. So 23 to hit.
Yep, that's a perfect hit, and 8 damage is another toughness save. 24 save. Jeez. Okay.
That's it by one.
That's why he's on his own outside the mansion gate. He's a big fella.
You are lucky in one respect because his penalties reduce him down, unless I'm mistaken, by another one. He actually equals it, I think, or fails it by one. Let me just check. Minus one.
I'm back.
Okay. Ooh. It's a minus one penalty, so he actually equals it, so he saves, so he doesn't take any damage at all.
That'll be no good, so-and-so. I swear, man, De Silva has these guards well paid.
Okay, so he will now... best he can do at the moment is basically to try and punch Hammer to get this gun from underneath its arm. So he will do that. So a 14.
Why would he do that?
So yeah, he's 4 under the to hit roll. So kind of basically, Hammer just basically puts his arm up and kind of blocks the punch and kind of grins at him menacingly. Okay, 7. Mojo, you are next. Are you going to take another shot or are you going to get nearer?
There's not. Will they make a lot of difference if I get nearer?
It won't make. It'll probably. It may cut down some of the cover, because obviously this guy's now in front. If you were to get nearer within point blank range, effectively it eliminates that problem. Yeah.
Well, I will stand 6 foot away from him with my arm out, pointing at his head with his pistol, and I will fire.
Okay, go. That's better. 21. Okay, so he's hit. 3. Okay, his save is 25, though.
Oh my god.
He needs 18 or better, even with a minus 1 penalty, he saves. So he takes that in the chest and it just basically absorbs.
Are we sure this is not the possible super talented individual?
Okay, Hammer on 4, you are next.
Okay, so has this guy taken any meaningful damage yet?
He's taken 1 rank of damage, that's it, out of 4. And that's it.
And I'm grappled with him currently?
You've kind of got your right arm around his assault rifle, and yeah, so he's trying to pull that away. He just took a punch at you, and you managed to just get rid of it. So yeah, you're not technically grappled, but you can still swing at him with your hammer if you so wish to.
Okay, hammer.
Okay, perfect. 26 and another 10 damage, so that's a 25 or better on the toughest saving throw. This time he rolls a 16, minus 1 from that is 15, so he takes a full 2 ranks of damage, which is enough to stun him this round. He's 3 ranks out of 4 wounded, so back around to 15 is Gunner again.
Try and smack him again with the Ginsu.
17 to hit.
8 damage, yeah.
He hit. 14 saving throw. That is a failure. Yeah. So this time he takes the full damage. Did you want to give us one of your lovely tales of knife combat, or do we just say that he dropped him?
let's hit something big and bleedy. That way, he loses consciousness within a few seconds. We do it quick and quiet.
Fine. So your knife basically just slips under the side of his arm, kind of punches him through the side of the chest. He kind of lets out a quick gasp and just kind of flumps to the ground and into his knees and just kind of sinks on the ground. And Hammer lets go of his rifle and he falls completely onto the rest of the ground. Yeah.
What kind of rifle does this guard have?
It's some kind of Chinesey.
Like an AK or something like that?
47 knockoff?
Yeah, I believe it could be, yes.
Mojo, do you want your hands on that?
I don't know if I can use it. What would I need to use to be able to pick up an assault rifle?
Technically speaking, if you've got the gun skill, which I believe you have,
I've got light on
light
that
pistol. Panel. Yeah, so I would say that would probably fall within the range of that. I mean, technically, you could the skills can allow you to be as broad as you want to. So you could be range of weapons, guns, if you wanted to be the gun guy. So I'd say you could have the normal rank for that.
Okay, right. Well, I'll toss this stupid pistol over my shoulder. It'll probably land on the floor, go off and shoot me up the arse. That's probably what it'll do. I'll throw it away, pick up this, AK-47 ripoff.
Okay. So you're now outside the fence of the mansion itself. There's a wall ever so often, and there's a fenced area that leads into that courtyard. There is a keypad lock on that courtyard that will allow you access to the rest of the actual the building.
Well, I think it could be time for lights out, storm in mode.
Sounds good to me. But before we do that, is there a place there we can stuff this guard?
There's nothing in the immediate vicinity. The nearest thing you could do would probably be taking to either the forest to your on the east hand side, or those bushes just by the tennis courts. That would be the easiest depositing places.
Could Hammer throw him on the roof?
No, it's three stories.
Never mind. All right, we'll just leave him against the wall somewhere, and then let Mojo do his thing.
Okay.
Okay. So. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check this CCTV feed that I transplanted in my goggles, and I want to have a look inside the mansion and see what's going on.
Okay, CCTV feed. Okay, so from where you're currently standing at the moment, there is a camera that is outside that kind of overlooks the courtyard at the moment and kind of goes left and right across the courtyard. Appears to be, from where, if you kind of stick your head just kind of view for the gates, it seems to be mounted on the right hand side wall, and it covers that entire courtyard area. Inside, you can still see De Silva sitting in the main room. No sign of anyone else on any of the other cameras, and he's still watching the remains of the Godfather 3.
So no kind of like obvious guards wandering the corridors of the mansion.
Not as far as you can see. No sign of anybody that's covered by the actual areas. The CCTV. The CCTV doesn't seem to cover everything. There is a couple of places that seem to be either out unimportant or. You can't see anybody at its current point in time.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, as far as I can see, there's two options. We can. Turn all the lights off, turn down all the power and just storm in and work our way for the mansion house. Or I could get us for the gate and then maybe not necessarily turn off the camera in the courtyard, but maybe like try and loop the feed. Maybe I can try and do that with my control so we can walk unseen through the courtyard and try the stealth option in the building. But I don't know, that's probably a bit more complex. What do you think?
I think looping the feed is a great idea. I don't think we should kill the lights until we're right on top of them.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, Aid, obviously you say there's a keypad on the gate. That's the first thing to try and bypass, isn't it?
Yes.
So what do I need to do that?
So you either need to... You've got three options. You can either use a technology to basically hack it. You can either use your electronic powers to basically fry it, or someone can actually attempt to remove the gate from its housing by basically destroying it.
But could you, if on the CCTV camera that's in the courtyard, if you took the gate out of the equation, would the camera see that?
The camera would, every so often, would pass kind of just slightly catching the gate as you went through. So, yeah, if the gate was removed, eventually it would just show up as being damaged. If you've got like probably about 30 seconds or so before the actual camera passes back towards the gate, but if you're clever and you kind of stay on the wall, like the wall edge, you could probably tap away at the keypad and not actually get in the camera until you actually pass into the courtyard.
Okay. Well, I've got electronic skill at plus 12, or could obviously try and just use my manipulate electronics power. Which one of those is the easiest for me to do in this situation?
The easiest, the most reliable probably would be the actual electronics hack, using certain stuff, you know, tools and stuff you brought with you.
Well, I've got a multi-tool with me and stuff
like
that.
That's right. The quickest, obviously, would be to fry it. Because you basically just put your hand in it and spark it up and basically cause it to overload. But that may cause some kind of feedback and alert somebody, yeah.
Okay, no, I will just reach into my little backpack over my shoulder, pull out my multi-tool and a bunch of circuit boards and little tiny silver clips, and I will proceed to try and hack my way in and bypass the lock.
Okay, so you open up the front end of the box itself. Right, so you need to make a technology check.
So is it plus 12?
Yeah, and you need a 20 or better.
30. Looks like it worked.
Okay, so fantastic, 30. So, yeah, it takes about 2 or 3 minutes or so to kind of hack it through, and you kind of attach your kind of box of tricks to it, and it scrolls through the various numbers as they kind of flash up on the screen, and after that it kind of clink, and you hear the lock open up and allow you to gain access.
Okay, so do I now is it this stage now that I've got to try and bypass the CCTV, because if we were to step through into the gate now, the potential...
If you step through in a courtyard after 30 seconds or so, you would be definitely caught within its sweep, yeah. If you want to use your kind of effectively kind of feedback, the feed through your the goggles...
Yeah.
And kind of manipulate it that way, that then you could do that.
So that'd be like kind of like... manipulate the machine, would it? Which is like interface.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, what we do, technically you would be doing was you'd almost like you'd probably be like recording a small section of the actual blank courtyard onto your goggle, kind of back up,
that's
and then
right.
you use that to throw back onto the actual thing itself and kind of refeed it back every so often. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that works. So, what do I need to do?
Yep. So if you want to give it a chance for your power and use that.
Right, so manipulate the machine, interface device.
Yes.
There's no kind of like role to it though, is there? It just says communication two.
Right.
So communicate.
Okay. Let's make that a technology check again, and we'll see. So you see, make sure you can get it correct and kind of line up with the original feed.
So is this going to be computers now?
Yeah.
Or would it be what? So I've got.
No, wait, what you rolled last time is fine. The
electronics. Okay. Yeah. Right. That's fine.
25. Okay, that's well over. Yep, so that's fine. So on the 25, so yeah, you've taken a short kind of snapshot of the feed, and eventually kind of replay it back over itself constantly. And anyone watching the screen now will just basically see that that kind of same piece of footage over and over again.
Okay. Cool. Well, there you go. There's my job done.
That's like I'm off now.
All right, so let's move through the courtyard and let's break in.
Yeah.
Okay, as you make your way through the courtyard, right. Give me 2 seconds. I don't do that. Annoying thing. Right, let me just shift you guys to the next map. Okay. Right, so that is the courtyard. So okay. You see there is a there's a window to the north and two windows to the south. The actual plants and stuff and the little water feature in the middle of the actual courtyard itself. And then there on the west-hand side is, well, west-hand side from on the map, is the set of doors that now access the actual mansion itself.
What side do we think the Silver's room is that he's watching TV in?
As far as you're aware, it is in that northern corner somewhere.
So out near the window?
Yeah.
And without, obviously we're gonna move by the window to do whatever, and just making sure that we stay low. Can we see into that window?
You can see into that window, yes.
Is he in there?
As you look into that window, you see a small room, but there's no sign of the Silver. There's a door leading off that one to the right-hand side, and then there seems to be a small door, which looks like it leads to a cupboard. And that room itself is a small kitchen. Okay, and inside that small kitchen is a little old chilling woman. And she seems to be cooking up a storm in the kitchen. So she's shuffling between the various work spots, and kind of, yeah, she's basically got something on the pans at the moment. She's just basically kind of shuffling away, and kind of as you squeeze your hit ear against the window, she seems to be humming Copacabana.
Copacabana, the hottest spot north of Havana. Sorry. I'd vote against killing the old lady. I know it's out of character for me, but...
Yeah, but so far, every time you voted against not killing something, you then killed it.
You've done that afterwards, yeah.
No! It's not looking good for the old Chilean woman. That's sad.
All right, so do we want to move by the window and go for the doors, or just go in through the window and see what soup is on?
What's the window like? Is it reinforced? Is it plated glass? What, you know?
It looks like it's... it's very thick. There is a double window, so it opens out into the courtyard itself. So if you were to pry it open, you could definitely get through it. The only problem being, obviously, is if it's alarmed, then it obviously any kind of access would allow the alarm to go off, and possibly the same as any breakages may cause any alarms as well.
Okay,
Yeah, again, your feedback power could possibly play in there as well. You could attempt to sense to see if you can find any kind of electronics around the actual window itself. Whether or not you could do anything with it.
Okay.
Overloading.
Let's give that a go. Can I detect any alarm systems or security systems?
Right, so if you want to make a check on that power.
Okay.
On your electronic control, so that'd be D20 plus 5.
Okay, one sec. Not that high, 10.
Okay, 10 would be enough, that's fine. So you basically, you put your palms against the wall, and you can definitely see, yeah, there is some kind of sensor built into the surrounding area of the wall that seems to be focused on the window, so... You would assume that it is both for if it's forced open or if it's broken that it would cause an alarm to go off.
Well, I personally think, guys, this is the stage now where regardless whether we go for a window or go for a door, we're going to start bumping into people, aren't we?
All right, so let's kill the lights, go loud. Can you see through the CCTV there's people roaming the halls and those doors right there?
Well, I can't. According to the CCTV feeds, the only person I've seen in the mansion so far is just De Silva sat in his room. Because obviously there's no camera in the...
Okay,
in
so...
Is one of the cameras actually in, the lobby or whatever area that we believe that is?
Right, so going back to your... You've kind of refocused on your goggles again. It's kind of switch back the picture in picture. That allows you to view the lobby. That is the lobby. So the exit your camera position there allows you to oversee the actual the lobby itself. And that is all you can see at the moment. Now, there doesn't appear to be any sign of anybody else at the moment. You can obviously see double doors to the north, single doors to the south, and then another set of double doors to the lower east side.
So maybe then in that case, then we go for the double doors and kind of like head this area.
All right, let's do it.
And there's a third camera there, which basically gives you access to the kind of the sub courtyard.
Hey guys, we've been playing for about an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes right now. Do we want to go ahead? I mean, I get a feeling we're coming into some important climactic fights that might take a little while.
Yeah,
I would say that would probably be true. Yes.
So maybe this is a good point to hit the pause button and do session 3 next week.
Yeah, cool.
That sounds fantastic.
Okay, yep. Cool. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. Right.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to mention to the loving podcast audience before we stop recording?
Extreme Earth Funded, we rock.
Absolutely.
We rock. We're that cool. All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next time on the PAMF Podcast.